Well, as I said this morning, we're starting a journey through the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to begin in Jeremiah chapter 1 as we consider God's calling on our life. What does God want to say to us about our calling? So I'd just like to start by reading verses 4 through 12 of Jeremiah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." And then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," I replied. And the Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly. For I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." I ran across a cartoon recently that I found amusing. With my engineering background, I could relate to this. The professor is saying to his students, "Along with antimatter and dark matter, we've recently discovered the existence of doesn't matter, which appears to have no effect on the universe whatsoever." And as we consider our calling this morning, I want to tell you very clearly that when it comes to your calling, there's no such thing as doesn't matter. If you're in Jesus, your life matters. Your life makes a difference. And our purpose is wrapped up in something we call our calling. There's something that really does matter about why you're here right now. I mean, your job, your vocation is part of your calling. In your earlier years, being a student, Grace, it's part of your calling as you prepare for what God has called you to. I mean, I remember being in college and wondering if I was ever going to finish my education. You can relate to that, can't you, Grace? But our educational years are just so formative for the rest of our lives. And so wherever you are right now, just don't resist it. Just embrace it as part of your calling because your life matters. I mean, the reason you're here on this planet at this moment in time matters. And this morning we're going to learn from Jeremiah that God's calling is truly an amazing thing. Now, if you were to put on your cynic's hat, you would say that Jeremiah's life and calling didn't matter at all. Because this poor guy, Jeremiah, he preaches in Jerusalem for 40 years and nobody listens to him. 40 years. Now, can you imagine preaching for 40 years and seeing no fruits for all your work, Pastor Chris? I mean, that could be pretty discouraging, couldn't it? I mean, I would definitely feel like I didn't matter if I taught Sunday school to an empty room every Sunday morning. And Jeremiah lived in this period of history just before and then during the time when the Babylonians swooped in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They deported the Israelites to Babylon. And this is called the exile. And it came in phases. It didn't happen all at once. In the first phase, one of the major prophets in the Bible, a guy by the name of Daniel, who we've studied before, was deported to Babylon. And then a few years later, Ezekiel, should be a familiar name to us all, Ezekiel was deported to Babylon. And Jeremiah is preaching through this whole period of Israel's history. They had turned their backs on God and had turned to idolatry. I mean, there was all kinds of sexual exploitation. There was child abuse and social injustice that had just infected the entire land of Israel because they had turned to worship demons rather than the true and living God. And that's a choice all of us have to make, who we're going to worship and serve. I mean, people have a choice. They can turn their back on God and go the world's way, which is permeated with the powers of darkness. And that is what had happened in Jerusalem. So Jeremiah was warning that judgment was going to come. You can't do this. You can't live in this kind of sin. What it does to other human beings and how it decays society is deplorable, and God is going to hold you accountable. That's the loving judgment of God. So Jeremiah is preaching, you must turn around and return to God. And nobody listens to him. So what he warned them would happen does occur. The first exiles, including Daniel, were carried captive to Babylon. And then the second set of exiles, including Ezekiel, were deported to Babylon. And then finally, the Babylonians just swept in and destroyed the entire city of Jerusalem, including the great temple Solomon had built several hundred years earlier. It's all gone. Their country, their cultural treasures, all of their family heirlooms, their lives as they had known them before were just gone. Now, Jeremiah is sometimes called the weeping prophet. He also wrote the book of Lamentations as he describes his own city, the city he loved, burning to the ground because nobody would listen to him. You would think that Jeremiah's ministry didn't matter. That there really was antimatter and dark matter and doesn't matter in the universe. And Jeremiah's life fell into the category of doesn't matter. But Daniel kept his heart for the Lord. And he later writes while in Babylon in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, that he dug up the written versions of Jeremiah's prophecy and studied them. And as a result, he understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. And as a result of what Jeremiah's words told him, it guided Daniel in how to pray. And Daniel started praying into things that looked like the book of Revelation and the end times in the Bible. And if God has called you and you're in Christ, your life always matters. Jeremiah's life made a difference in the life of Daniel and in the future history of the nation of Israel. Even though nobody listened to Jeremiah's prophecy, it triggered something in Daniel's life in Babylon. And as a matter of fact, we're still looking to that in our day. Your life always matters if God's called you. And when it comes to your calling, we're going to learn three things about the calling that God has on us. First, when it comes to your calling, God doesn't need to explain himself. And many of us fight God's calling. I mean, insecurity inside us just leads us to meltdown sometimes. We ask God, why me? Well, I'm not as good as that person. I'm not the best looking. You want me to be your spokesman? I mean, I didn't get the best grades in school. You know my report cards. And we just sort of throw a fit and drag our feet. But God says, forget all those things. Because my calling has nothing to do with what you bring to the table. That's why verse 4 says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, and this is Jeremiah's calling here, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And that's amazing. I mean, first, the wording reminds us of my favorite psalm, Psalm 139. The psalmist says, when we were in our mother's womb, God was intentionally weaving. He was shaping us into the body that we have. And then in very poetic terms, he said, God was not only weaving a physical body, but he was weaving a purpose into the very fabric of our being while we were still in our mother's womb. Because the psalmist said, not only was God shaping me in my mother's womb, he says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book, God, before one of them came to be. God was working his purpose into the fabric of our lives. He shaped you matter into the very fabric of your being in your mother's womb. And this is why we hold to the sanctity of life. Whether it's in the womb or outside the womb, God's already active in the womb, shaping purpose into your life. But this is what's stunning about Jeremiah. Because God says, I'm the one who forms people in their womb. But Jeremiah, before I even got to that, Jeremiah, I knew you. Before you were even shaped in your mother's womb, I knew you. And then in an illustration of Hebrew poetic parallelism, he says, roughly the same thing again. Before you were born, I set you apart. So he's saying, you didn't have time to become good looking, Jeremiah. You didn't have time to give away a lot of money and get my attention. You didn't have time to be a straight A student in school. You didn't have time to declare the right kind of major when you were in college. Before you were even formed in your mother's womb, Jeremiah, I called you. This means that God's calling is God's calling, and you can't do a thing about it. I mean, God's calling manifests itself in the passions that He's given you, in the skills He's given you, in the heart that He's given you. And when it comes to God's purposes, I think head, heart, and hand. What has He given me interest in? How has He shaped my mind? What level of intellectual ability do I have for certain kinds of roles? And that's the head part. Then when it comes to my heart, what do I have a passion for? And then when it comes to my hand, what has He opened doors for me to do? You know, I know people who in their head and their heart think they're really great singers. I mean, but, you know, they can't even carry a tune. And I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. So, you know, nobody's ever asked them to sing. I mean, there's no open doors.
To defend myself, I don't think that I can.
Okay. Well, there are some who do. But there's just no open doors for them. Nobody's inviting them to come and sing. So it's got to be all three. Head, heart, and hand. And God can lead you on a journey to help you understand what His purpose is for you. But He doesn't need to explain Himself. But all of you have the call of God. This is why we say He's sovereign. I mean, we can resist or run from the call of God, kind of like Jonah did. But the call of God is not something we deserve. It's not something that we ask for. It's something that God ordained from the time we were in our mother's womb. This reminds me of what Jesus said in John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me. I beat you to it. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I ordained that. and appointed you so that your life will matter, that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. God called you. You know, sometimes you may feel stuck in your job right now. But until the Lord does something to get you unstuck, it's probably God's purpose that you be there right now. I mean, it could be that you're right in the middle of God's will right now, and it's easy, and you just feel His grace just flowing through your life. I mean, we have certain seasons in our lives where it's like God just makes His purpose seem effortless. But other times, we have to really work hard. And usually His call is not fulfilled through laziness or self-entitlement. I mean, we can't just wait around with an attitude that the world owes me something, so I'm just going to sit here until somebody does something for me. I mean, that's not how you engage with the will of God. You work hard and take whatever God puts in your hand and use it to the glory of God, because God is shaping you. He's preparing you for His purpose.
I always lived in my 20s and 30s on the edge of overcommitment. I said yes to a lot of things. I didn't know what my giftings were yet. I was still, you know, so you try everything because we're a servant and we'll serve God however He gives us the opportunity. If someone asked me to do this, I'd do that. If someone asked me to do that, I'd do that. I'd look at what God put in my hand. Did that align with what was in my heart and my head? And just not just sit back and waste time, but try to live. I actually lived on the edge of overcommitment. I wouldn't encourage you to do that your whole life, but when you're young, you live on the edge of overcommitment. So you learn what He's gifted you at, and you learn what He's done. But there's something inside of you. I knew even in my 20s. I mean, I tried very hard to be an engineer. I studied 9 years for that. And then God called me into full-time ministry. And yet, all through it, I mean, I spent the first half of my life just feeling like, well, maybe what I make's a difference, but I just feel like God's preparing me for something. It's just like, I need all the experiences I can get for whatever God's calling me to. So we don't, just because God doesn't explain Himself doesn't mean we live passively. We just keep working with what He's put in our hands. And His grace is often strong during some seasons. Other seasons it's hard because it shapes us. I believe every one of us at some point in our life need a boss that's ornery. It just does some wonderful things for you if you can survive it. And you go, God, this can't be your call. I remember I started a university church at the University of Minnesota out of my student years. And then God called us, Sandy and me, and our 9-month-old daughter, Meredith, to go to Southern California. And it was 1988. It was one of the two toughest years of my life in ministry. And yet I knew God had called me there. I was following a very famous pastor who'd been there 17 years, Dr. George Wood. And I was 35 years old. And it was a spiritual adventure, finally saying yes. So I knew God had called us. And I went, and immediately 10% of the church left. And they'd say, he's a very nice young man. He's no George Wood, but he's a very nice young man. And they called me the no name with potential, all these names. And it was, I was just overwhelmed. I never pastored this large a church. And every night, Sandy, who's sitting down here, she knows this is true. Every night we'd pray together before we fell asleep. And every night, it was a very hard year for Sandy too. I was only, to be honest, probably half present as a husband and the father of a new little child. And it wasn't good. I'm not sure I handled a lot of that very well. And Sandy definitely was feeling that. So it wasn't easy for her. It wasn't easy for me in my overwhelmed condition for an entire year. But every night we'd pray, God, you called us. It was all I knew. It was, but Lord, it's been a tough day today. But I know you called me here.
And you know, that will carry you in the end. Because God's calling is rooted in His sovereignty. It's not about what I'm doing or deserving, but what He's called me to. And you know, we may not understand it, but His calling is what anchors us and stabilizes us in the end. So God doesn't need to explain Himself. He just calls us. and it'll carry us through anything. And then when it comes to your calling, God doesn't need to explain himself, but we're also going to have to reframe how we look at ourselves. We'll have to reframe how we look at ourselves. We see this in how Jeremiah responds. Does Jeremiah respond, "Oh Lord, thank you"? I mean, I am quite honored that you would purpose me for this even before I was formed in my mother's womb. I must be a pretty important person. No, Jeremiah doesn't do that. He responds in verse 6, "Alas." This is how I would paraphrase "alas." Oh, no! Alas, oh, no, sovereign Lord. He is sovereign because he calls us. "Alas, sovereign Lord." I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." And that's an interesting way to respond to God's calling, isn't it? I mean, Jeremiah was probably the age of a college student, Grace. Most scholars tell us he was 20 years old, so he was pretty young. And his response to God is, "God, I'm too young. I don't have experience. I'm just getting out of my sophomore year of college. And you know what? You know I haven't taken a speech class yet. I don't know how to speak. And you're calling me to be a prophet? What are you thinking? I don't even know how to speak. And Lord, I still on the inside feel like a little kid." And in response to Jeremiah's objections, God gives him two don'ts that I think are really important for us today too. And God's going to try to help Jeremiah reframe how he sees himself by giving him two don'ts. First, don't let your insecurities define you. Because God says in the next verse, verse 7, "But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young." I mean, that's what Jeremiah was thinking. "Lord, I'm too young for you to use. I feel like a kid." But God just says, "Stop it. I don't want to hear that, Jeremiah. Don't say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you." And if you've ever really known the call of God in a strong way, then you feel born to do what you're doing. I mean, we've heard Pastor Chris talk about Monday. He just can't wait until Sunday gets here again. You may hear yourself saying, "Sometimes I just feel born to do this." I mean, God actually says, "Jeremiah, you must." I mean, it's an act of obedience. Jeremiah, you need to reframe how you're thinking about this whole situation. Don't let your insecurities define you, Jeremiah. Don't say I'm too young. Don't even go there. And that's so easy for us to do, especially in the early years of our lives. But you know, it's also easy for us to do even when we're older. You know, having retired in the past few years and hearing from other retirees, you know, I think we may even relive this when we retire. I mean, it's so easy for us to say, "Oh, Lord, I can't. I can't do that. Oh, no. I just can't. Oh, I'll never. I'm just too old." You know, "I don't think I'll ever make enough money to buy a house. I don't think I'll ever be as successful as my dad was. I don't think I'll ever be able to share my faith with somebody. I don't think God could ever use me in a significant way. I mean, I don't think I could ever start a business on my own. I don't think I could ever pick it up and finish my education at my age." I mean, we just live with, "I don't think I'll ever. I can't do these things." And these tapes just play over and over and over in our minds. And this is Jeremiah's first response. I mean, even at 20 years old, it's all about the things that he can't do. "I can't speak. I'm too young. I'm too old. Jeremiah's insecurities and all the things that he can't do are framing his identity and declaring his capabilities. But God doesn't put up with that. He just says, Jeremiah, stop it. I don't want to hear you say that. I don't want you to even think that. I don't want you to speak that. I don't want you living in the realm of what you can't do. I want you to live in the realm of faith. I want you to live in the realm of the possibilities of my calling in your life. I want you to live in the realm of my sovereignty that could really surprise you. I mean, who knows the breakthrough some of you might have in business in the next few months? I mean, who knows if you volunteer for something at the church, who might give their life to Christ? I mean, we shouldn't think or speak unbelief. We should constantly live in the dimension of what God is capable of doing. Oh, I can't do that, and I'm too old or too young, and I'm not this, and I'm not that. And meanwhile, you're dealing with a sovereign God for whom nothing is impossible. And he called you before you got a chance to volunteer. Before you chose me, he said to his disciples, I chose you. God doesn't need to explain himself. And the second don't God says to Jeremiah in verse 8 is don't let your fears make your decisions for you. Because God says, do not be afraid of them, Jeremiah, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And God was getting Jeremiah ready for more than Jeremiah knew he was in for. I mean, it would be 40 years of unsuccessful ministry on the surface. 40 years of preaching and nobody listening to you. I mean, that's pretty tough. At one point, they actually burned all of Jeremiah's prophecies and they threw him into a pit. I mean, even Jeremiah comes to the end of himself. And we learn a lot in this book of Jeremiah about Jeremiah personally and all the pain that he went through. But God said, listen, don't let your fears make your decisions for you. You can't live in fear. You can't live your life out of fear. E. Stanley Jones was a well-known and a very influential American Methodist missionary to India in the first half of the 1900s. In fact, Time magazine recognized him as the world's greatest Christian missionary in 1938. That's quite a title to earn. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize twice and authored 27 books. He once said, I am inwardly fashioned for faith. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I'm made so that worry and anxiety are sand in the machine of life. Faith is the oil. Doubt and fear are like sand in the machinery, sand in your engine. But faith is the oil. I'm inwardly fashioned for faith, not fear. Fear is not my native land. Fear may feel like your native land, but God says to Jeremiah, don't be afraid of them, Jeremiah, for I am with you and I'm going to rescue you, declares the Lord. So don't let fear make your decisions for you. And don't be repeating all that negative stuff that you keep thinking and speaking about. All that God can't do through your life. Just stop it, Jeremiah. And don't listen to fear. And then when it comes to your calling, you're going to need God's supernatural help. And this is where we'll land this morning. God's supernatural help. After saying, don't fear them, verse 9 says, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. Now that's a picture of what I see happening. here in us today. I mean, I've been praying, Lord, just reach out your hand and touch us. He touched his mouth because he was going to become God's spokesperson, his prophet. He was going to preach the word of God, warning the people against judgment, calling back to the true and living God. So God gives Jeremiah supernatural help. He reached out his hand and touched his mouth, Jeremiah writes, and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. And this is the poor guy who had never taken speech class. Yet God said, I have put my words in your mouth, Jeremiah. And in verse 10, see, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And that's how powerful the word of the Lord will be through you. I mean, you can't do that without something supernatural happening. Now, is there a parallel to this in the New Testament? I believe there is. After he rose from the dead, just before he was ascended into heaven, Jesus was with the disciples, and in Luke 24, verse 45, Luke writes, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead. And Jesus is speaking about himself here. He's going to suffer and rise from the dead. And then on the third day, we're going to celebrate that next week, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be what? Preached. You do that with your mouth, right? Preached. In his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what we have to give to our world. That's why we're here today, because our sins can be forgiven. And we have a restored relationship with God because of what Jesus did for us. And this is the message we send to the world. If you repent of your sin, if you turn around and turn to God, there can be forgiveness for your sins. And that message is to be preached in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. Then two verses later, he warns them, but don't do this on your own. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. This is the New Testament version of God touching Jeremiah's mouth. And when you're called, God wants to clothe you with power from on high to be his person, his spokesperson. And Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And he picks the story up in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 on the day of Pentecost. It says that all these followers of Jesus, they're just waiting, just as Jesus had instructed them. Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power. I don't know if they even knew what he was talking about, but they stayed there waiting on and praying to God. And on the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish feast day, the Spirit of God filled the room with a mighty wind. And then Luke said all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And what did they do after they were filled? They started speaking languages they didn't understand. In other words, God touched their mouths. Why? Because he's made every one of us to be spokespersons for him. And he's deposited the Holy Spirit in each of us. And repeatedly in the book of Acts, when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they start speaking in other tongues just to remind them and us today that ultimately God has called. And whether he's called you to be a doctor or an engineer or an administrative assistant or a teacher or a nurse, whether he's called you to dig ditches, build houses, raise cattle or crops, it doesn't matter what he's called you to do. He's also called you to be his spokesperson, to be his witness wherever you are. And that's why there are all kinds of jobs that God has called us to, but He's put us out there to be God's person wherever we'll be this week, to be His spokesperson, to have the courage to share our faith, to be sensitive, to love people and care for them. I mean, we can't go through our week caring less about the jerks all around us. God changes our heart so that nobody's a jerk anymore. And He gives us new eyes for them. He helps us to love them. And He opens doors for us to speak in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is His calling. So when it comes to His calling, God doesn't need to explain Himself. But He will also ask you to reframe how you look at yourself, to no longer see yourself in terms of your insecurities. And He will give you His supernatural power. And I'm praying for that today, praying that for all of us, praying that for us as a church body. And here's a picture that I want you to carry away with you this morning to help you remember this. It's a picture that God gives to Jeremiah in the next verse. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see it, the branch of an almond tree, I replied. That's a little weird, isn't it? What does an almond tree have to do with this? Here's an almond tree in the Middle East in full bloom. It's got some gorgeous white blossoms, doesn't it? You know that almond trees blossom in mid to late January? While all the other trees are still dormant. The almond tree is blossoming with just these brilliant white blossoms. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree. And then he goes on to say, the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. And the word watching and the word almond in the Hebrew are almost identical. Just one little letter difference between watching and almond. So it's a play on words here. And God is saying that almond tree is the watching tree. It blooms before anything else because I will be swift to see my word blossom and be fulfilled in your life. God's saying to Jeremiah and to all of us today who are in Christ that He's called you and positioned you right now. And His word is active. And His promises are dependable. And He will work with you, watching over His word to fulfill it through your life. And wherever you are, whatever He's placed you to do, whatever your purpose is, God's saying His word is active and His promises are dependable. God is working with you and He's going to watch over His word to fulfill it through your life. And so we begin our study of Jeremiah this morning. God's call can take you anywhere. To a pulpit in Fontana, Kansas, Pastor Chris. To leading youth to rise up for Christ and lead a nation back to God, Colton and Sarah. From a small south central Kansas town in the city to the city of Cuenca, Ecuador, or a computer screen. Or it can take you to your job tomorrow morning. You know, we need some great churches in our nation. more than we have right now. And that's going to take people who, though they have other interests in their life, their most important call is to serve God. And I'm praying that God will reach down and touch our mouths in a fresh way this morning. You know, we can't do it without His supernatural enablement. And you may be saying this morning, Lord, I'm not even sure what you're calling me to do. But Lord, whatever it is, sign me up. I'm available for whatever you have for me. I want to be available. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I just pray that we experience what you did to Jeremiah happening in this moment. Lord, would you reach down and touch our lips, and Lord, fill our mouths with the supernatural word of God. Lord, would you give us a power and a resolve that exceeds our own. Lord, give us faith beyond what we've had before. And Lord, just as you touched the lips of Jeremiah, may we sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. Lord, help us not to be hindered, but to fulfill your call on our lives. And Lord, would you break fear in our lives that wants to grip us so tightly, all of the insecurities that we feel so strongly, Lord. Lord, we don't understand it, but you don't need to explain it. You don't need to explain yourself. You've just called us. And Lord, I pray that your anointing will propel us to go to the next leg of our journey. Lord, would you just refresh us today where we're feeling weary and overwhelmed. Lord, just give us a new sense of your call that will keep us even in difficult times. I mean, we don't do this alone. You're watching over the purposes that you've spoken into our lives. You're watching over your word to fulfill it. So Lord, put your word in our mouth. And Lord, the enemy wants to put distractions and obstacles to destroy our calling. And Lord, we pray that we'll remain faithful to your call, that you'll guide us in the steps you've prepared for each moment of our life. And Lord, may we never lose heart. Lord, keep your call beating strong within our hearts, I pray. Lord, put opportunities in our hands as Christ followers and as a church. Father, help us to not doubt. Help us to cast off all fear and the insecurities that would hinder your call in our lives. Lord, help us to be available. Just to say, yes, Lord, I'm available for your purposes in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.